This morning in our sermon, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we're going to consider a story that you may remember from the Bible. It's a story about a wee little man. Anybody know who that may be? Some of you may remember that Sunday school song some of us learned. A wee little man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Wonderful to go back to these stories. You know, we're kind of aware of them. Sometimes we kind of forget all that they mean. And so it's been great for me to go back and read these stories again and just seek God's voice in these stories. So I'm going to invite you this morning to remind yourself, as I have, of that great story of Zacchaeus. You'll find it in Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, Luke 19. May we learn, may we experience what Zacchaeus experiences here. Luke 19, reading from the New International Version. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." There's so many things to see in this great little story. But the first thing we note is a man who is unhappy with who he has become. Zacchaeus is unhappy with who he has become. He has become a thief, an extortionist, a traitor. How do we know that? The scriptures just simply say he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being a tax collector, although we don't like to meet tax collectors. There's nothing wrong with it in itself. There's certainly nothing wrong with being wealthy. But you have to understand the cultural setting. You may know that, first of all, a tax collector was greatly hated by the Jewish people because he was working for the invading nation, the invading empire of the Romans. The taxes were being gathered to be sent back to that pagan headquarters in Rome. So that in itself was a great insult to the Jews. He was considered a traitor. Also, it was well known that these tax collectors would gather more than what was required to send back to Rome. And what do you suppose they did with the difference? They put it in their pockets, didn't they? So when we read tax collector and wealthy, it seems innocuous, but actually it means a thief, a traitor, an extortionist. This is who Zacchaeus has become. But of course, the story is all about a man who's become something that he's not proud of, something that he wants to change. In my study of this passage, I was reminded that the name Zacchaeus in the language can literally mean bright or clean, possibly even the righteous one. So every day, Zacchaeus was being mocked by his very own name. He knew he was none of those things. However, the beauty of the story is he knew he wanted a change. He knew he needed a change, but he certainly has come to the right place. Jesus, as you probably know at this time, was a rock star. He was hugely popular. Crowds followed him wherever he went. Everyone was clamoring for Jesus. Zacchaeus knew about Jesus, obviously. He had heard of Jesus, heard the stories about Jesus. Maybe he'd even heard Jesus preach or had been there for one of the miracles. It's very possible. It's possible, for example, that Zacchaeus heard Jesus say this in a sermon just a little earlier, back in Luke 18. Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Did you think that put fear into Zacchaeus' heart? What was the point that Jesus is trying to make? Jesus is absolutely not saying a rich man can't get into heaven. What Jesus is saying is this: it may be more difficult for those for whom all of their needs, their physical needs, are met. A wealthy person might be fooled by pride. They may feel, I don't need God, I don't need anyone or anything else, I've done all of this myself. They may be fooled by false security, a trust in things. So I was thinking about the hurricane coming into Florida, and trust me, we've ridden out many of them over the years. You're reminded of how quickly things can disappear. In a moment, they can be blown away. The things of the world mean nothing. And so it's a false security to trust in them. They might be fooled by a false sense of righteousness, a reasoning that says, I'm wealthy because God has blessed me. You are not because he's not blessing you. So these things can be stumbling blocks to those who have all of their physical needs met in this world. Zacchaeus was afraid these things might keep him from the kingdom of God. And in that fear, he reached out to the Savior. In that fear, he reached out to the one who he was beginning to believe could bring about that change of heart. We all need a change of heart from time to time, don't we? It begins, of course, with salvation. If this morning you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your personal Savior, that's the first, most important step that you can take. But it's not the last, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of a life seeking to know Jesus, seeking to be changed by Jesus, seeking to encounter Jesus in our lives. So we can put ourselves in Zacchaeus' shoes, no matter who we are this morning, and we too can have a change of heart. But we need to remember some key principles from this story. And the first one is this: to experience a change of heart and life, to experience Jesus in the fullness in which he presents himself to you and me this morning, I must be open to God's initiative. The beauty of the story, as you well know, is not that Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. It's that Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. That's the heart of this story, isn't it? Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. But Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. If you just do a quick reading of it, you may get the sense that this was all a chance encounter. Jesus just happened to be passing through, and he just happened to look at the tree at the right time, and here was Zacchaeus. But we know, don't we? We follow the life of Jesus. We know there's no coincidence with Jesus. Every word he spoke, every step that he took, was carefully planned and directed by his Father. Jesus was on a mission, and he knew what that mission was. As a matter of fact, he even tells us here. He says he came to seek and to save the lost. So everywhere he was going, every step that he was taking, every word that he was speaking was directed by this: to find the lost, to lead the lost to peace with God through faith in what he would do and what he has done upon the cross. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus already knew Zacchaeus' name. Jesus found him in a huge crowd. As a matter of fact, as I was reading the passage in verse 5, this stood out to me. It says, when Jesus reached the spot. You notice that? The spot. As though this has been ordained since the beginning of time. This was the spot in which this was going to happen. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. He was seeking Zacchaeus. Can you imagine how shocked and how relieved Zacchaeus must have been? I'm sure Zacchaeus never imagined that Jesus was looking for him. He knew he was looking for Jesus. He probably never imagined Jesus was looking for him. Somebody has said it is not reported how Zacchaeus got out of the sycamore tree, but the chances are good he fell out in amazement. I'm sure it wasn't what he was expecting at all. Isn't that a beautiful truth? We're seeking Jesus. Never forget, he's seeking you. He's looking for you and me. He's longing, he's desiring, as only he can, for a full relationship with you and me. There's a beautiful scripture in Revelation 3:20, many of you may know it by heart, which says that Jesus stands at the door of our heart. And Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts in the picture there, isn't it? He is looking for us. He is coming to us. He desires a relationship with you and me. But we must be open to it. We must be open to it. So to have a change of heart, to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus, we must be open to God's initiative. And secondly, we must believe that God loves sinners. God loves those who are separated from him. In the midst of this beautiful story, there's some ugliness, isn't there? The ugliness of pride and self-righteousness and jealousy. When Jesus chooses to go to Zacchaeus' home, the crowd turns on Jesus and Zacchaeus. They accuse Zacchaeus of being a sinner, which I'm sure they've already decided. But then they turn on Jesus and say, look at him. He's going and spending time with sinners. The picture that comes to my mind is this. The word gets out. Jesus is passing through. And so all of the religious leaders, the powerful people of that little town, send word home, get the house ready. Jesus is coming. I'm sure that he will stop and come into my house. Don't you think? I mean, none of them would admit it, of course. They were too humble, so it seemed. None of them would admit to it. But they probably secretly thought, maybe he'll come to my house. Maybe he'll come to my house. And when he chose the one who they thought was least worthy, they turned on him, didn't they? They turned on him. This often happened to Jesus, as you know. Jesus chose Zacchaeus. It's important for us to understand why he chose Zacchaeus. He chose Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus realized he needed God in his life. Zacchaeus realized that he had everything, but he had nothing without salvation, without a spiritual encounter with his Creator and his Father God. Zacchaeus' very presence there is a confession of his need. A man so hated as Zacchaeus was would have avoided crowds at all costs. He knew his life was in danger coming out into a crowd like this. The very fact that he was there was a confession. I need Jesus. I need something to change in my life. I need Jesus. That's where it begins, isn't it? Have you ever talked to someone about the gospel, and just sharing this morning with someone at this very experience. They've been witnessing to this person, talking to them about the good news of Christ, of salvation, of hope in Christ, of eternal life, and it's been like talking to a wall. And I assured them, as I've assured many people over the years, it's not until people sense their need that they begin to open up. Right? They begin to open up. Zacchaeus sensed his need. He didn't understand all the ins and outs of it, maybe, but he knew he needed something. He needed someone. Maybe it would be Jesus. He realized he needed God in his life, and so he went looking for Jesus. Zacchaeus did not allow his pride, his fear of the crowd, even his short stature, to keep him from seeing Jesus. I loved this story when I was a kid because I'm short. And I thought, isn't that great? You know, something, one for the short people. One for the short people. Of all the individuals in the crowd that day, Jesus singled out Zacchaeus. It's absolutely important that we stop and ask why. Why Zacchaeus? Why Zacchaeus? As a matter of fact, Jesus had hoped that the crowd would stop and ask that same question. Why did he go to Zacchaeus' house? Why Zacchaeus? Did he choose Zacchaeus because he was most deserving? Clearly not, right? At least the way we look at it. He wouldn't be considered the most deserving, whatever that means. Did he choose Zacchaeus because he was the worst? He was in the greatest need? I'm sure there was probably some who said that. Well, he chose Zacchaeus because he was the worst sinner. But if you believe that, you misunderstand sin. Because sin before a holy God does not have grades. It does not have grades. All sin is displeasing to our holy God. The Bible clearly says we're all sinners, right? We're all separated. We're all living in willful rebellion against God. God chose Zacchaeus not because he was the best and the most deserving, not because he was the worst, But Jesus chose Zacchaeus because he was the hungriest. Let's not miss that. Jesus chose Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus was the hungriest. He was the one who most wanted to meet Jesus. He was the one who most wanted to meet Jesus. You look back at the text. This has been standing out to me all week. In verse 3, it says he wanted to see who Jesus was. It's very important. Zacchaeus didn't just want to see Jesus. He wanted to know, who is this man, Jesus? Who is this man who claims to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior? I want to know who he is. I want to see his heart. I want to understand what makes him tick. Zacchaeus was not interested in just a celebrity sighting. Zacchaeus was not interested in just getting an autograph. Zacchaeus wanted to know, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? You know, that's what it's about, isn't it? Wanting to know who Jesus is at his heart, in his spirit. That's what we're about as a church. Not just that we know Jesus or know of him. We want to know who he is so that he can change our lives, he can work in our lives and bring glory to his Father. We want to know his nature. We want to understand the way he thinks. We want to know his values. We want to know his perspectives. We want to know who Jesus is. Zacchaeus wanted to know who Jesus is. Why did Jesus choose Zacchaeus? Not because he was the best, not because he was the worst, but because he was the hungriest. He was the one who truly desired Jesus. Last week, or actually throughout the summer, we talked about men and women in the Old Testament who walked by faith in the one true God. And last week we talked a bit about David. We said David, King David, would be kind of the ultimate example of someone who walked by faith. We talked a bit about his victory over Goliath and many other stories we could tell from the life of King David. But we said the bottom line is this with David. David desired a relationship, a growing, healthy, deepening relationship with God his Father. For example, in the 42nd Psalm, David's Psalm, David writes this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." That's David's heart. Is that my heart? Is that your heart? Do you pant for God? Do you thirst for him? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Zacchaeus had a desire for change. Zacchaeus sensed his need for salvation and a growing and deepening relationship with this one called Jesus. He was open to God's initiative. He believed that God loved sinners. And the third thing we see here is this: never give up hope. Never give up hope. If you were to take a survey that day in the crowd and ask, who in this crowd is least likely to have a change of heart? Who do you think probably would have gotten most votes? Would have been Zacchaeus, right? They would have said, for sure, that tax collector, that guy who's filled his pockets with illicit money, is clearly him. But what the story of Zacchaeus says is there's always hope. There's always hope. Even for the chief tax collector, there was hope. The crowd maybe considered him beyond redemption. Maybe Zacchaeus itself at one time considered himself beyond redemption. But he didn't give up. He climbed the tree. And with a little tiny bit of faith he had, he believed that maybe if I can meet this Jesus, he can change my life. He can change my heart. He can meet the thirst and the hunger in my life for spiritual meaning, for hope, for eternal life. God can and will change us. Don't despair. Don't despair. God can and will change us. Never give up hope. God said, it's recorded in Jeremiah 29 and again in the book of Hebrews, God said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me. I often say to people, God is not playing hide and seek with us. God wants us to find him. Remember playing hide and seek when you were a kid? You didn't want to be found. You looked for the very best, darkest place. That was the whole point of the game. God is not doing that with you. Trust me, there are many people who believe that's what God is doing. But he's hiding. He's hiding from them and leading them down all kinds of empty paths. That's absolutely not the case. Jesus wants us to find him, just as he is finding us. Jesus wants us to have a life-changing encounter with him. Are you hungry and thirsty for Jesus today? Do you admit your need of a change of heart? God can, God will change our lives. Jesus will meet with us here as we come by faith. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for the wonderful story of Zacchaeus. Thank you, Lord, that it reminds us, as we need to be reminded, that as we seek you, you're seeking for us. And as we seek you in faith, we will find you. And you will change us, and you will bless us. And you will work in our hearts and in our lives by your grace. Oh Lord, give us that confidence. Maybe this morning we've lost hope. Maybe this morning we feel like we're beyond redemption. Lord, help us to see that your love is great, your love is eternal, your love is perfect, and we are in your love. Be with us, Lord, as we continue to worship around these elements today. Prepare us for the table. In Jesus' name, amen.